Welcome to Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. I'm your host, Damali Peterman. On this podcast, we invite you to share a conflict that you need help navigating, and I, along with a guest co-host, will share what we would do in that situation to help you reach your breakthrough. Welcome to the show. On today's episode, I am thrilled to have Kristen Castry in the studio. Kristen, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Damali. I'm thrilled to be here.
Oh, it's going to be a fun, fun day. So how did we meet? I would love to tell the audience. You and I met because we were both invited to join a book club a couple of years ago now. Mm. And we've been meeting every month. We don't always make all the meetings, but we've been meeting every month for over 2 years now. And it's just been extraordinary having you and the other phenomenal women in our book club as friends and people to just talk about things with.
It's true. And I didn't really know anyone else in the book club except for one woman. So it was really fantastic to kind of meet all these new people who are all do different things than I do and who live in different places and convene every once in a while. And so it's been a treat.
It's been a real treat. And so, Kristen, tell us more about yourself.
I am the mother of two children. I live in New York City. I'm from Boston originally. I am the campaign director for an anti-hunger nonprofit called A Place at the Table. A Place at the Table was born from a documentary film called A Place at the Table that was released in 2013. It's about hunger in America and the history of hunger in America since the 1960s and 70s and the ballooning of the issue into crisis proportions and the fact that most of the American public doesn't know that there is hunger in America because it's largely invisible. And so we seek to direct the American public toward long-term solutions, the root causes of hunger, the way in which the government, federal government and our leaders can institute policy and programs that can really get to the bottom of the problem and eliminate the need for so much of a charity response.
Wow, so that's amazing. What a wonderful mission to end hunger. Mm-hmm. That's an amazing mission. I'm so happy to have you here. And you have a lot of experience in many things, business development, marketing, production, for small and large companies. And I know that you've also have a lifelong interest in more than hunger. You're interested in issues pertaining to poverty and justice. And I have to admit, I haven't seen the documentary that was the impetus for A Place at the Table, but now I feel like I must see it. I hope it's on Netflix or
it is.
Or I'm going to download it. I have a long flight coming up soon.
Good.
And Netflix, I want to download it. That's
Amazon
awesome.
Prime.
Amazon
it's a great
Prime.
Film.
I can't wait to watch it. Now I feel like I have a really greater understanding of the work that you do. Mm-hmm. But I'm so proud of you and just honored to have you in the studio today.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And so for those of you who are tuning in for the first time, you can simply call in our hotline and leave a message asking a question that you're contemplating. And it doesn't have to be a conflict. It could be anything that's going on with you and you're just not sure how to navigate it. Or it can be an actual conflict that you really want to hear from someone who's not invested in the outcome. Mm-hmm. With a co-host on the air for the first time, we will play the message and give you some feedback as to what we would do in that situation. So, Kristen, what do you think? Are you ready for the first message?
I am.
Let's do
I'm
it.
Very excited.
You have one message.
Hi, this is Mary. I would love to hear some thoughts about how to start taking time back for yourself. I am a very successful professional in the C-suite. I have three lovely children. I have been the model of taking leave and coming back from leave and, quote, doing it all into the outside world. It's perfect on paper, but I feel that along the way, everything that I've given up to be this perfect on paper model for everyone else is me time. And how do you start reclaiming me time when you've already set the precedent that you are always 24/7 for everybody else? Would love to hear some practical tips on how to start making that happen. Thank you.
Great question.
That's a great question. I feel like so many people can relate to this question.
Absolutely.
Right?
And so, I've had so many conversations about this very topic with so many people over many years.
Many years, many drinks.
Exactly.
So what's the first thing that comes to mind for you, Kristen?
Well, there are a couple of things. The first thing, I struggle a lot with the need to feel like I'm doing everything to the best of my ability, 110%, to be perfect and to be the perfect friend, to be the perfect mom, to be the perfect worker, to be the perfect wife, to be the perfect daughter. And it is not possible. And I don't know that it is the best goal to have. You know, if you have to choose your North Star, I'm not sure that perfection is always the healthiest North Star to be tried to orient your life around. More recently, I have been trying to embrace the imperfection. And I find that embracing the imperfection, it brings me closer to other people because, as it turns out, no one is perfect. And so when you talk about your imperfection with your friends, with your partner, with your children, it reveals something. It unloads something in yourself, and it also reveals something to them that's useful to other people because you're saying to other people that I'm not perfect, and it's okay if you're not perfect. So that's the first thing. I mean, and so to be able to fully love yourself with all of those imperfections and to find, you know, the grace in that, I think is really an important part of growth. You know, the other thing is allowing, you know, your partner, if you have a partner that you share your life with, allowing them to take some of the burden. That was really a challenge for me as well, because, you know, you both get into patterns. You get into patterns of who does what and who's responsible for what and who's kind of covering off on the logistics of where the kids are and who's picking up the dry cleaning and who's doing that. And that's you know, helpful in some ways because you don't have to discuss it too much. But sometimes it's good to say, you know, can you do this for like the next month? Can you just take this on for me? And that will be a huge help to me. And then, you know, see what happens. And then sometimes things will fall through the cracks. And that will be okay because the world will keep on spinning. So, again, I'm saying this from experience of having struggled with this myself. So I know that when things fall between the cracks, they just fall between the cracks. And then the next day, the sun rises. It's amazing.
I love that you have another day, a do-over day, and it doesn't have to be a groundhog day. It doesn't have to be the same. I love that you said embrace imperfection and embrace the imperfection because you're absolutely right. Once we sort of allow ourselves to be real and to kind of embrace the fact that we aren't perfect, we can't get everything done, and that other people are having similar experiences, I feel like we are more relatable to other people, to most of the world who are hopefully trying to do the same thing and finding that you just can't do it all. I think I read the other day that there are 1,440 minutes in a day. I mean, there's a finite amount of time in each day, and to your point, the sun will rise the next day. And so it's okay not to be perfect. And what I love about that, especially as a mom, is that if we set the example that you have to be perfect, then it's really tough for our children to follow and if they have this idea that they have to be perfect at everything. I always tell my children to do your best. I want you to do your best. My parents told me to do my best. My parents always told me too that I could do anything that I set my mind to. And I like that because then I would also add to that as I've grown and become a little bit older and have my own family is that not everything is for me. Mm-hmm. And so I might set my mind to it and I can do it. But then the next question is this for me? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes there are some yeses and some nos that will happen in life. Mm-hmm. And to prepare for those nos, you have to think, well, maybe this wasn't the right opportunity for me. Mm-hmm. And so what I love is like thinking of some different life hacks. And you provided a great example, Kristen, of delegating. Mm-hmm. if you have a partner, using your partner and asking that person to help you manage certain things. And it doesn't have to be forever. You said for a month. You know, one of the things that I was able to do, I was doing the schedule for a caregiver, and I did it all by myself alone for maybe 4 years. And then it occurred to me that I didn't think my husband knew how much work went into planning the schedule for the caregiver, because then I had to know my schedule, the kids' schedules, both kids, and his schedule, and my caregiver's schedule. And it took a lot of time to put together this schedule. So one day I used the notes function on the iPhone. And now the notes function, they didn't have this before, but now you can share it so people can do real-time changes, kind of like a Google document where you can all edit the same document. And now he does it too, and he can see, wow, it's like a lot of moving parts. And it was something that worked out really well without me having to say, you know, this is a lot of time. It's super time-consuming. It's a lot of work. And, you know, I really wish he would do it. I just shared it with him one day. And I was like, just add your schedule, or just, hey, just look this over. And so now we take turns doing it. And now he appreciates how much time goes into it.
That's fantastic.
So, yeah, right.
And you know, there was an article in the New York Times not too long ago about emotional labor.
Yes.
And about how typically women, not always women, but one partner in a relationship will take on the emotional labor of the family or the couple, and that it's hard for the other person to know what goes into that without seeing it, because they can't see inside your brain.
Right.
So how would they know that you are literally spending 40% of the day figuring out what time is this person supposed to get picked up and
right.
brought over here? And, you know, it's a lot. And so just opening the door and shining a light on it is helpful, because it's not about, you know, I want sympathy. It's more just like, if I'm weighted, like, oh, there's only so much of me. So if we need to free some up, then you need to take on a little bit here or there. And that's I think that's really helpful. The other thing I was going to say is just about vacations.
Yes.
So I just came back from vacation.
Excellent.
And I did –
Where'd you go?
I did work. I went to France and Italy.
Oh, fantastic.
It was amazing. And, you know, the first week I said I'm going to be working, because it was kind of like a working vacation. And then the second week I said I'm really not going to be working. But yet I still did. And then halfway through I said I have to stop this, because I need this time. I need to shut this off, because this is not helping anyone that I'm kind of holding on. And constantly checking my email and constantly thinking, what else can I be doing to move this forward? And so I'm trying to remind myself, I did the last few days manage to get there, but it took a week and a half to get there. So, but one thing I have been trying to do here is take little mini vacations just in the middle of the day. So like I'll work on the computer for a while. And then I think there's like a 20-20 rule or something where
yes.
you have to work for 20 minutes and then you have to get up and do something else. And I work from home, which makes it really a little bit easier, I think, to take that 20 minutes to just do some laundry or to make another phone call or call a friend or take a walk outside
yeah.
and then come back to it. And I'm much more productive. So those times that I am working, I'm doing getting more done. So
I love that. Mm-hmm. So basically find ways to have mini vacations.
Mm-hmm.
So during the day, find some time to like for yourself. So mm-hmm. whether that's a walk, whether that's meditation.
Mm-hmm.
I think mindfulness is really big these days. Mm-hmm. It has been for a while, but people are really pushing it a lot in social media and other areas. And so mindfulness, meditation, going for a walk, finding some time to just disconnect from work or from things that could be causing stress. I think another thing that Mary said is that she wants to hear some more thoughts for how to take time for herself. She said that she was a model of taking leave and having kids and then coming back. And she feels like it's perfect on paper, but that she's given up so much of herself and that she really wants to start reclaiming her time.
Mm-hmm.
And so this idea of taking time throughout the day is great, because you can start that immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Today, find at least 20 minutes and do something. One thing that I really like to do regularly, and I learned this a few weeks ago, is something that's called gratitude practice.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't take 20 minutes, it can if you want, but all you have to do is write down every day, three things you're grateful for. And in the beginning, it'll be big things. Like, I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for my job. I'm grateful for my home. But then once you start doing it on a regular basis, what you're retraining your mind to do is to scan for positivity, to scan for things that you're, that are making you happy and appreciative, because there's so many external things going on that could be negative. We get news every day, and there are all these filters that we're having to process information that could be kind of affecting our moods, affecting how we interact with others in the world. And so something that I want to add for you to consider, Mary, is just incorporating this gratefulness, this gratitude practice every day. I take 2 minutes, and I also do it with my family. So every day at some point during the day, I tell them, tell me, I have small kids, so I'm trying to at least get one thing from them. I'm trying to work up to three. But sometimes I'll say, tell me, you know, one or two things you're grateful for today. And you'd be surprised the things that they tell you, because they think about it. And one was like, I'm grateful for learning how to tie my shoes today. You know, so they can be small things that are good accomplishments for your children. And so try that. What other tips can we give her for how to reclaim her life back?
You know, there's a great book by a doctor called, I don't remember his first name, but it's Dr. Sadeghi. It's called The Clarity Cleanse. And he has a practice that he recommends where you take a piece of paper and you write anything, everything, whatever, for 10 or 12 minutes. And you just write and write and write. It can be complete garbage. It can be not even legible. And really, the practice is about just getting out what's kind of stuck inside. Mm-hmm. And then you go over to the sink and you get a match and you light it up. And something about the fire kind of lighting up this piece of paper, and just it's very primal, kind of. It really just releases something in you. And he recommends doing that every day. I have not managed to do it every day because I don't want to scare anyone.
You want to set your house on fire.
I don't want to set my house on fire. So there's that. But, I do it often. Every time I do it, I feel like a little part of me is like freed up, because I've kind of dislodged some things in me. So I really like doing that. But that book in general is really helpful for kind of clearing negative energy. And there's a lot of gratefulness practice in there as well. So I think that really helps. I am very into meditation. I try to do it every day. My meditation teacher recommends for city dwellers and for parents doing it at night before you go to sleep. So most people traditionally, you do it in the morning at 5 o'clock in the morning before anyone wakes up. But I like to take every single minute of sleep that I possibly can before someone like physically drags me out of bed. So that's my practice. But at night, about for 5 minutes after I read, before I shut the light out, I sit up in my bed and just have 5 minutes where I'm watching my thoughts go by. And that 5 minutes, it is only 5 minutes, but it does nourish me in a way that I think carries into the next day. And it's not about anybody else. It's not about my husband. It's not about my kids. It's not about work. It's just purely for me. And that helps. And also chocolate helps.
Chocolate is definitely helps. But I love that you said that the meditation practice is something that's just for you. Mm-hmm. Because I hear the caller saying that she's trying to find a way to do more things for her. Mm-hmm. And meditation is something that can be free. There are also some guided meditations out there. I know that I have the apps for, I think, Headspace and Calm. But I've also work with people who are amazing meditation gurus who just say, you know, kind of close your eyes and focus on your breath. And so depending on whether that's your thing, you can try those. I would be curious to know, what do you enjoy? What is it that you're missing? Meaning, what is it that you used to do that you don't do anymore? Or what is something that you like to do, but you haven't found time to make it happen? One of the things that I did a few years ago was I just sat down and I wrote something I want to do tomorrow, 3 days, 7 days, and then a week, 2 weeks, and then a month. Mm-hmm. And what that did was, one, it made me think, like, what is it that I want to do that I haven't done? And then two, why am I not doing these things? Is it just that I'm not thinking about it? Am I not prioritizing them? Or like, what is it? Is it a financial reason? Is it access? Like, for example, is it a trip to Australia, for example? And so I would want you to maybe write down some things. I'm a big fan of writing, to your point about the book you read. Writing things down. Maybe you don't have to burn it, but or you could burn it. but just, yeah, right? But writing it down and sort of looking at it. And another thing that I'll add is having an accountability partner. I find it so helpful to have so many various accountability partners who I can talk to, and I can keep them accountable for things they said they want to accomplish, and vice versa. What do you think about that, Kristen?
I love that, you know, and I mean, I don't have an official accountability partner. I have talked about it with a friend of mine, possibly putting together something a little more regular and formal. But I do love talking on the phone with friends. And that's like a little bit of a loss. You know, remember when we were like teenagers and we used to talk on the phone for 2 or 3 hours a night? And that was helpful. It was good. It was, you know, I kind of got through things. But I think, you know, we can't always go to dinner or meet up for coffee. And that's not always the most efficient use of time, depending on what else is going on in your life. But you can talk on the phone. And then, and just sit down and just like have a good, you know, where are you right now? Like, what's happening? And then, and what, you know, are you okay? And then what, how can I help? Or, and then, you know, you can unload some of the things that are going on in your life that just talking about it sometimes like frees it up.
Absolutely. And what I love too is, you know, and the last thing we'll say on this, because I feel like we've given you so many wonderful tips, is that definitely talking on the phone is helpful. In addition to that, one thing that I read recently was for 30 days, pick one person that you want to reach out to. Mm-hmm. And it could be over the phone. It could be a quick text, just thinking about you, wanted to say hi or say like what you mean to me. And what that does is it makes a person feel great. It makes you feel great. Mm-hmm. And it kind of has this wonderful impact. And so, Mary, hopefully that was helpful. We provided some ideas. Mm-hmm. Please call us back. Let us know what you think. Put some comments in the under the podcast once you listen to it, because we love helping. And we also love kind of this collective wisdom for others who may be contemplating the same question. So without further ado, let's go to the second question.
Great.
You have one message.
Hi, my name is Vanessa, and as a busy professional, I do find time prioritizing self-care, but I try to wake up early, have some meditation and prayer time and some workout time. And I also join a book club. That way I can find time to read something and rejuvenate and educate myself without feeling pressured with work activities every day.
Awesome. So it looks like she's trying to find some time to prioritize self-care. And she mentioned some things that she was already doing. So meditation, prayer time, workout time, and joining a book club. But it sounds like there are some times that she doesn't do those things because of the outside external pressures. And so you and I are in a book club, and mm-hmm. we were talking about meditation and other things. And it is hard, because I find for myself, the first thing that if I have a lot going on in a day, the first thing that I'll say I'm not going to do is like go to the gym. Like, mm-hmm. oh, go on, go to the gym. Mm-hmm. And that's probably not the first thing I should give up. Mm-hmm. But the point is that usually it's that self-care regimen that goes first and gets out the door first. Mm-hmm. And so what are some ways we can kind of think about how to continue to prioritize ourselves as first, because we spend so much time taking care of so many different things and people and perhaps not focusing enough on ourselves, Kristen? What do you think?
Well, there are a couple of things that came to mind when I was listening to Vanessa talking. The first was, and just more squarely in the self-care world, is essential oils. I'm not an essential oils expert, but I have in the past couple of years found a couple of things that have become kind of rituals for long-term health, that involve essential oils. So one is lavender. I put lavender on my hands before I go to sleep and take 5 deep breaths, and that it puts me in a deeper sleep. It's amazing. I've got my kids doing it. My daughter, she likes to use a focus blend of essential oils before she does her homework. And so I don't know that the actual oils or the scent of the oils is making her focus more, but the ritual of doing that before you sit down, okay, I've got my tea, I've got my pencils, everything's sharpened, I'm sitting in my space that I like to space, it's quiet, I've got my other things put away, I'm ready to work. And now I'm going to do my little oils, and that signifies, it sort of trips something in your brain that says, now I'm going to go into this other mode, whether it's sleep or focus or energy or clarity or restfulness or stresslessness. So I've kind of enjoyed that. So there are a lot of different oils, like doTERRA is one. I know there are many, many others that are really, really helpful. And the more I kind of learn, the more I kind of get into it. And then the other thing, it sounds like Vanessa really enjoys feeding her mind, and that, like, finding ways to educate herself and learn new things is self-care. And I relate to that because I really enjoy being in book clubs. I'm in 2 book clubs. And I also really enjoy podcasts and learning about things that I don't know so much about. And every time I listen to a podcast, that's like a deep dive into a different political issue or a different kind of topic or someone's story, I feel like I come away with a little more knowledge. And I also like to go to museums by myself. That's a self-care practice that I don't get to very, very much. But if I go to the Met by myself, it is like heaven. Oh, and also I like to go to movies by myself. Again, not another thing that I do very often now, but every time I do, I'm like, why don't I do this more? this is like a warm bath.
It's so nice too, because you get to go there and like really focus on it. I know that for the most part, I go to the movies with my kids, and it's always kind of like, here's a popcorn, here's a drink, who has to go to the bathroom? And so I don't get to sit there and focus. So I like the idea of just doing things by yourself, for yourself. Mm-hmm. So going to a museum, reading. For me, one of the best things that I've discovered, and I know I'm late, but it's Audible. So I'm an avid reader. I love reading, but I just didn't have enough time to always sit down and read a book, and a physical book. And I think I was one of the early adopters of the Kindle, the ebook. And then that also became a hassle, because then if you're commuting, you don't have time, especially if you're driving or on the subway, to kind of focus on the ebook. And so being able to listen to a book was great, because I could do it, hide my little ear pods under my hair, and then like kind of walk and listen to different podcasts, listen to ebooks. And what I really love are books that are narrated by the authors, because you feel as though they're talking to you. And so Trevor Noah and his book Born a Crime, when he starts singing in Xhosa, and then First Lady Michelle Obama, her book, I felt like she was talking to me, and we were really good friends, and we knew each other, and we hung out, because everywhere I went, I was listening to her kind of talking in my AirPods. And so I think finding what you enjoy, you mentioned reading the Bible and other things, and so all of these things there are so many ways to get access to the information. I think what's really key is routines and rituals. I love essential oils. I'm so happy you mentioned that. Every time that I have lavender, and I don't do it often enough, but when I do have it at night and I smell it, or I put it like on my neck or on my hands, I enter the best, most deep sleep. I'm like, Rem, where have you been? I haven't experienced you in ages. And so you're absolutely right. And it never occurred to me to introduce that practice to my children. So I love hearing that there's a focus blend. I'd be curious to know what's in that blend so I could mix it for my family. But just thinking about that. And then I know in the morning, some people use essential oils like peppermint and drop that in the shower, because that helps you wake up in the morning. And so there's so much research you can do online to kind of type in to check in on different essential oils that you can use for various aspects of your life. It's just so many wonderful things that you can do. What else do you do? What about like any sort of, I know you're a yogi, right?
I am. I mean, I've been doing yoga for 20 years, more than that maybe. I introduced my husband to yoga. Oh, now excellent. He's more the yogi than I am because I got into more intense like cardio as a kind of regular practice. But I do love yoga still. I have a great yoga studio near where I live. And so that's always been a big part of my life. I think the other thing is also friends and really valuing. I'm not sure if most of the people who listen to this podcast are women, but for me, really valuing my friendships with women as, you know, a priority in my life. You know, of course, my children are, you know, my first priority and my husband are my first priority, but my friends are very, very close behind. So to take those relationships really, really seriously and as kind of lifelong sources of energy and inspiration and love and a way to take care of yourself is I think really, really, really important and for me. So I've increased my time and my devotion to my friendships in the past 10 years. And that can easily slip away if you don't prioritize it.
I love that. It's like like a plant or a flower that you have to nurture to grow. And so I definitely like the focus on friends and friendships. And I oftentimes see friends as like the family that you choose, mm-hmm. right? And so it's so important. I think of so many wonderful friends like you and others that have just been just great bastions of conversation, of laughter, of joy, of just sharing various things together. And so I hope, Vanessa, that was really helpful. There's so many different ways that you can find time to prioritize things that you enjoy. Because I think sometimes we get focused on a routine and we lock into it. And if we don't do it, we don't change it. Mm-hmm. And so it sounds like you already have some great things that you're into. Maybe think about different things that could work for you. For example, Chris had mentioned before, she meditates at night. And so for me, I know that I've tried morning, I've tried afternoon, and maybe now it's time to try evening to find what works best for you. And maybe that will help you as you prioritize these things that you enjoy. So thank you so much, Vanessa and Mary, for calling in. Thank you to the audience for tuning in. And Kristen, thank you for being here today. You're just such a wonderful person. I really appreciate you coming into the studio.
Thank you, Damali. And you are an inspiration to me. You are such an amazing person, an amazing professional, and such a powerhouse. And I really am thrilled to be a part of your podcast.
Oh, awesome. This is going to be a great one. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I am your host, Damali Peterman, and this is Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. Continue to break through. And have a wonderful day. Do you have any barriers that we can help you break through? If so, you can leave a brief message at 646-363-6322 or on our interactive blog at www.breakthroughadr.com. Please follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at the @BreakthroughAdr. I'm your host, Damali Peterman, and this is Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. Although I am a lawyer, mediator, and an educator, and many of my co-hosts will represent various professions, we want to be clear that we are not providing legal advice, counseling, or suggestions. Our goal is to provide a roadmap for conflict resolution to generate future conflict resolvers. Continue to break through and have a wonderful day.